Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 1st, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, our crystal quest starts next week, and we'll be digging in Arkansas for the next two Tuesdays. So we'll be back on the air on October 22nd after tonight, and that gives you some time to catch up with our archives. We have a wonderful soul group coming together from across the United States, Canada, Germany, and Australia. So this is the awesome October Quest. We're happy to welcome Louise Houck back to our show this evening. Louise is a time-traveling clairvoyant, intuitive spiritual counselor who views beyond the physical dimension where all time exists simultaneously. She's here tonight to talk about her new book, Streaming Consciousness, A Current of Unity, offering a method of intuiting that shows us how to become aware of our participation in the flow of an invisible stream of energy. She has also written Beyond Boundaries, The Adventures of a Seer, Heart Links, Connecting with Lost Loved Ones, and Fearless Future, A Map Through an Uncertain Present. Louise has enlightened audiences across the country and in the UK, the Netherlands, Australia, Israel, and Canada. Her website is louisehauck.com, and that's louisehauck.com. And I think she may have a fun surprise for us tonight, so stay tuned. We'd like to thank Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. If you're joining us for the first time, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. Now, before we get started, I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Anastasia and Lavendar. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Lavendar here. Anastasia, I know that we have some good news, so take it away.
Hi, good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you. Lavendar, it's great to have you back on. And Arielle, hope you had a great week. And I know you guys are busy getting ready for the Crystal Quest, which is going to be fantastic. And it's real good to be with our Starseed listeners tonight. I want to give you all a great big hug before we get into tonight's amazing news, because we've got some incredible news. But I want to let you know that Comet Ison is making its flyby of Mars. Now, today, it will fly by Mars at a distance of what they say is only 0.07 astronomical units. And they have a ringside seat, these satellites and rovers up there in space. They're watching the flyby, and they'll be taking pictures of it. And so everybody's really got their eye on the sky. These astronomers and professionals are watching this, because this is a big deal. And actually, the comet Ison was seen in Tanzania in Africa, freaked people out. They had a heavy rainstorm, some really serious rain that affected the atmospheric conditions of the sky. people reported glowing in the sky and so on, which they have since attributed to Comet Ison, which is available, which can be seen through telescope at certain angles. And so it's giving some weird effects into the sky when the atmosphere is just right. And we do have an incoming a coronal mass ejection and a chance of storms. NOAA forecasters are estimating a 45% chance of geomagnetic storms tomorrow when they expect that this CME will hit Earth's magnetic field. They say that it was hurled into space by the eruption of a magnetic filament from the sun's northern hemisphere, and they do expect it to give us a glancing blow, sparking maybe a G2 class geomagnetic storm around the poles. So they're saying people should be watching for auroras. But this was a major eruption. They really weren't expecting this to happen. The sun has been very quiet.
Right.
The sunspots that are active right now that are not active, I mean, they're named, but they're quiet, 1854, 1855, and 1850, are not doing anything. There's no flares coming out of them. So, but they say that some of the spots are growing rapidly, and they think that it could develop into eruptions if it continues to develop. Well, have I got news about the sky? You all have had to probably been in a cave to not know what's going on up there, but if you haven't seen it or heard about it, I'm here to tell you about it. Actually, I'm just teasing you because mainstream media has been pretty quiet about this. But if you research the net and so forth for local news reports, you're going to find out that local stories are reporting this, even if it's not on your national news. There have been hundreds and literally, not even hundreds, over 1,000 fireball reports in the last 2 weeks from 30 states. And Japan has had a fireball flurry. They did that in the middle of September, September 18th, 19th, and 20th. And just last night, there have been 21 reports about a fireball seen over Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Now,
wow.
This is just a brief overview of what is going on out there. I mean, I'm saying, holy fireball, Batman, this is an amazing thing. And, you know, here I am slaving away at the computer, and I never get to see any of this cool stuff. But this has been happening. In fact, some of the let me just get myself pulled together here. Some of the Internet websites that report fireballs are demonstrating that there have been over 1,000 fireball sightings in the last 2 weeks alone. It
wow.
has really been an absolutely amazing thing. There was a big fireball sighting in Ohio on Friday night, not to mention last night. On Friday night, there was a meteor that was seen by hundreds of people. In fact, they said it was 1,000 witnesses over Ohio. And then, at the same time, a different fireball over Atlanta that happened on September 28th. That was a big deal, and that was seen over Alabama and Georgia. And then, let's see, what day was that? On the 26th, the day before, there was an enormous fireball spotted in the Midwest, and that was about 700 people reported seeing that large fireball over the Midwest, and that was covered areas of Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, and Wisconsin. And then, on the 30th, which was yesterday, there was a large fireball that was seen streaking in the night sky over Delaware. And so there were 21 reports related to that. At the same time, this fireball was seen over Washington, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Virginia, and West Virginia. Come
wow.
on, Starseed. You guys out there, have you seen any of this action? And there was also a really weird incident, a fireball that fell from the sky in Yucatan, Mexico. This is a wild story. This just happened Sunday. This is a poor community where these people are descendants of the Mayans. They witnessed a brilliant fireball that just scared them stiff. They didn't know what it was. It was preceded by a pyrotechnics blast, and they had an electrical blackout during the fall of the object. There was all that noise. And it lit up the sky and lit up the land below it. It was a burning mass. Day later, they went out to find debris from that and picked up all kinds of meteorite wreckage from that. So
wow.
that really freaked out the people in the bush down there. In the
they don't even have televisions down there, so they have
no. I mean, you know, can you imagine? They, yeah. And also over South Dakota on the 25th of September. Now, mind you, we've had the 26th, the 27th, the 8th, and the 30th, but on the 25th of September, South Dakota was lit up by a fireball, and a fireball with sound. And these ones with sound mean that they're incoming. They penetrate the atmosphere. They're considered to be a potentially penetrating object. When you hear a boom, that's a pretty major encounter. Also, in Alberta, Canada, they had a meteor fly by on the 25th of September. That got everybody's attention up there. And on the 24th of September, there was a meteor that was spotted going over Wyoming that was seen for 500 miles. People from Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, and Utah reported to the American Meteorological Society that they had witnessed the fireball streaking across the sky. All right, well, someone commented to me when I was telling them about this that, well, gee, we get this many little pieces coming in. Maybe there's a bigger one behind that. Maybe. Well, this was in today's news. Russian scientists have reported that an asteroid has had a near miss with our planet. This is a report from Moscow, and they say that a 50-foot asteroid, similar to the one that exploded above Russia in February, was detected hours before it nearly missed the Earth over this weekend. They say that their network of telescopes found this celestial body approaching the planet. It was discovered on Friday night, and 9 hours later, it flew within 11,300 kilometers of the Earth's surface below the orbit of geostationary satellites. So that could be one reason we saw all of that incoming within those few days. That's a possibility. I'm just putting it out there as a possibility. But there you have it. That is a report out of Russia, and they let everybody know about it. So anyway, on to a couple of news items about Earth changes. I want you to know that there is a tree fungus that is really bothering the trees in Britain. In fact, it's killing them. They say the disease is out of control in the east and southeast of England, and they have this fungal disease that's killing the trees, and they really don't know what to do about it. They say that it's spreading, and it's covering England, Wales, and Scotland, Northern Ireland. So any of our listeners in those countries, I'd appreciate hearing from you. They call it ash dieback. So that's really unfortunate. Those of you that are healers out there and, you know, connecting to the earth, it would be great to send some healing energy that way for all those beautiful trees. There was a really serious storm out in the Pacific Northwest. This is from yesterday, a news article from yesterday. They say an early winter storm dumped a record amount of rain in the Pacific Northwest, and it knocked out power to thousands of people. And they say it turned up a tornado yesterday and caused some damage. So tornadoes are not unheard of in the Pacific Northwest, but they're pretty rare.
Yeah.
So we're going to end tonight's news show by talking about something that's very, very positive. You know, we talk about starseed children and these wonderful kids that are coming in that are so brilliant, and they really are the future. Well, this is a wonderful story about an ingenious 19-year-old who wants to develop a plan to clean up the oceans in 5 years. Now, you all have heard about that big garbage pile that's out in the Pacific Ocean, that big island of garbage. I think it's the size of Delaware or New Hampshire, and it's huge. And this young man is worried about the tiny fragments of plastic that's floating in the sea and polluting the food chains for fish and all. And a boy named Boyan Slat, 19 years old, has created the Ocean Array Plan. It's just an ingenious project. It's amazing. He says it could remove 7,250,000 tons of plastic from the world's oceans in just 5 years. Now, just think about it. Isn't that great? I mean, I sat around and actually worried about that. But he has this concept he's developed called marine litter extraction. And he actually won the Best Technical Design Award in 2012 at Delft University in the Netherlands, where he is a first-year aerospace engineering student. And his idea consists of anchoring a network of floating booms and processing platforms run by solar power that could be dispatched to garbage patches around the world. And he figures that by selling the plastic retrieved over the 5 years, the project would pay for itself. Isn't that cool?
Wow. I love
it. It's just wonderful. I mean, it's just awesome. And he's 19 years old. So it's great. There's a lot of hope in our kids and in our young people that are bringing this brilliance and this light with them to help us figure out things that we've kind of made a mess of. So that's it for tonight's show, and I'm looking forward to our guest. I rushed through that so you all would have time for your program, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
and we're going to miss you when you're gone. We're going to miss our listeners. So we look forward to getting back together on the other side.
That's so true. Actually, we are still... Meg Benedicte is going to be stopping by for just a few minutes, and she has a new 5D Ascension seminar, and I thought that she'd be on the switchboard by now, but she's not. So I don't want to bring Louise. I don't want to bring you on and then have to interrupt you. So, and I oh, there's Meg. Okay,
there you go. Okay.
We got it.
I'll turn
okay.
it over to you.
Well, Anastasia, thank you so much, and we will miss you too, and we'll be thinking about everybody when we're elbow deep in Arkansas. Hopefully it's not mud. Digging
all that. Well, you're going to get all that beautiful energy and all that connection with each other. That's terrific. Oh. That makes the world better.
It is. It
building
is
a light grid.
When the soul group comes together, the recognition and the harmony and the just endless love that kind of spirals out from the group. And I'm sure that the it goes both ways with the crystals out to them and then from back to the crystals from them. So, and they're also reporting wonderful autumn colors. So it'll be a great experience. So we're all looking forward to that, but we will be back after tonight. We'll be back on the 22nd, and we do have Meg Benedicte with us right now. So let's just move on to there. Anastasia, thank you so much for the Starseed News. Okay. Well, we have Meg Benedicte with us. Hello, sweetie. Welcome.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Lavender. So great to be here with you.
So tell us about your 5D... teleseminar, 5D Ascension teleseminar.
Yes, well, thank you for giving me a moment to come on your show. I just wanted to share with everyone that I'm going to be offering a 10-week teleseminar, and this course teaches the steps to transition out of being stuck in the 3D reptilian matrix and how to cross into living into the 5D quantum field. And I know this is a huge transition that all the starseeds are going through, and we're at different phases of this. I started going through it in 2006 and 2007. And so as I went through those steps, I'm now walking everyone through those steps in this teleseminar. And it's guided also to provide detailed knowledge for healers to be able to hasten their transition into the 5D quantum field so that they can then guide their clients through the steps in confidence. So what this entails is it's going to be meeting 10 weeks on Thursday evenings. It's a telecast format through Block Talk. And we're starting on October 10th, goes all the way to up to the week right before Christmas. And what this does is it's going through a stair-step sequence that culminates in the activation of the crystalline light body and the self-sustaining torus. This is the vortex torus flow that we're using now to manifest instead of the old 3D system, and also to be able to activate the Merkaba ship, and so that we're living in our own home energies, our original starlight, star system energies, in the Merkaba being able to be activated. And that's what contains us as we're going through this transition phase from the 3D to the 5D matrix. So it's advanced work. It is for the way showers. It's for the star seeds who are awake and clearing and purging and activating right now. And I just am thrilled to be able to offer this to anyone who resonates with this material and is ready to rock and roll.
Well, I know that so many of our audience are very familiar with your work. And for those, for those of you that may not be, Meg has been on our show many times, and her work is just outstanding. I have had a personal session with you, and it really surpassed anything I'd ever experienced. So you are a master, and we are blessed to count you as one of our friends, and also that you're doing such great work on the planet. And you're
Thank
out
you,
there
Ariel.
At Mount Shasta.
Yes, We are. I was guided to move up to Mount Shasta from Los Angeles last year during the whole 2012 activations. And I have to tell you, since I've been here 1 year now, it's really obvious and clear. There's so many starseeds being called to move here, to visit here now. We really are able to activate the Lemurian template and get this activated again as the new 5D hologram. And so it's very exciting to be here at this time and meeting all of these beautiful souls. I was guided to open up a healing center here in Mount Shasta during the summer. It's the Quantum Healing Center. And it's given me basically a platform to be able to meet these people and work with these people. I've been doing vortex meditation circles there, and they're all pouring in, and it's very exciting to meet them. Everyone's showing up.
Well, it is the zero point energy field. It draws it. Excuse me. Frog in my throat. It just people starseeds just they have like a zero point radar, and they go,
right.
They really gravitate towards that. But you're just one of our favorite people, Meg, and you are so on the beam, on time, in alignment, and doing just awesome, in the true sense of the word, awesome work.
Thank you, Ariel. Well, and I love our soul sisterhood here as we're working together and helping and serving however we can through this ascension process. So it's thrilled to be collaborating with you and Lavendar, so thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. And your website is newearthcentral.com. And
yes.
There is a link on our show page where you can go straight there from our show page.
Yeah.
And anything else I need to add?
I think if anyone is interested in learning more about the teleseminar, please click on that link. It will take you to our front page. And then go to our shop, and you'll find the Quantum Vortex Training teleseminars, and that's where you'll see this upcoming one on the 5D Quantum Living, and it starts on Thursday, October 10th, next week, actually. It's coming up quick. So, yes,
it
just
sure
go right
is.
To that link. It'll take you right in. Mm-hmm.
Sure is. And are you still doing your radio show on Wednesdays?
You know, I'm doing them, but it's for a membership now, and that is also, there's information on that at the website as well. We did the public radio show 2011-2012, but then in 2013 we moved it into the membership and do live healings on that show every Wednesday night. So that's also an option for anyone who wants additional work, support.
Well, do check it out, because we completely endorse and recommend the work of Meg Benedicte. And thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Ariel. Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of the show.
We sure will. Thanks, Meg.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, Lavendar, I'm going to bring Louise on right now. It's our pleasure to introduce Louise Hauck. Welcome to the show, Louise.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Well, Louise, this is Lavendar, and I'm really anxious to hear about whatever you want to talk about since we last talked. It looks like you have a new book out called Streaming Consciousness. How did you arrive at this concept?
Well, I'm always looking for ways to simplify multidimensional information to help bridge from very linear communication and information that we process in this dimension. And when I listen to you guys, it's like you're hanging out in the fourth and fifth dimension, and I'm simply trying to bring the information through and make it comprehensible and useful to people. So I'm always looking for ways to make it simple, and I'm fascinated with all that's happening with this expansion of consciousness. When I work with clients and apprentices and I see, oh gosh, them use words like simultaneity when I'm trying to find words to describe two time periods existing at the same time. And then the client says, oh, I love simultaneity. And I'm thinking, my goodness, she's so multidimensional. So it's really a matter of observing this kind of in slow motion as I do with exercises with the apprentices. And And also with clients who are very left-brain, concrete thinking, trying to find pathways to help them open up to their right-brain, imaginative, intuitive self. So I'm making some really fun discoveries. And it's fascinating with the apprentices, the different unique ways that they pull in this highly intuitive information. And my heart goes out to them often. I know I've had my own journey and how different you feel when you sense things in this way. But when I see how ostracized or marginalized, sometimes condemned they've been for the things they see and how they know things, it's just wonderful to see them come together, and it's a real all for one, one for all, and leaving the egos at the door, and really to help others open up to their own multisensory gifts and to start to understand multidimensionality. It's really fun.
So how does streaming consciousness relate to telepathy?
Streaming consciousness is a concept that came to me to simply describe this flow of consciousness that is never ending, this continuum of consciousness, and the infinite information that's available to everyone. So we're all in the stream, and when you get in the flow, you have access to this information. What takes us out of the flow is fear, the ego self. What gets us back into the flow is heartfulness, gratitude, appreciation, and that's when you get the phone call, the parking place, and it all syncs up that you're in alignment. And then once you get used to being in the flow and receiving this kind of information, you start to dive deep and get into more of these multidimensional ideas. So telepathy is a very multidimensional and very usual way that we communicate. We do it all the time. We're just not aware of it. But once we become conscious of it, you can see when people are picking things out of your energy field. I was going to go to a gathering, and a few hours before, someone had mentioned the series Nip and Tuck. I hadn't heard of it. And I go on to this gathering, and I meet this gal for the first time, and she is very left-brain, logical, concrete thinking. And she does testing in the school. So she was describing her job to me. And she uses the expression nip and tuck. And I said, have you used that expression before? And she said, no, never. And so I didn't have the time nor the inclination to explain that she had just pulled that out of my energy field. I have to watch what I see on TV the night before I work with an apprentice on the phone the next day. Once they're oriented, they start each session by doing a scan of my consciousness. And they'll pick up on scenes from Desperate Housewives that I watched the night before. it certainly all goes in, which is a very important message. But the subtleties and the nuances, and I kind of laugh when I can hear an apprentice saying, now, how do I say this? How do I put this into words? And they're trying to make multidimensionality linear. One way that I've devised to help apprentices do this is what I came upon through my own process. And, of course, you invent something new just because there's a need. And so I go to that frequency in myself that gets me into the flow and take a deep breath with the client that gets us in sync. And then the information comes in. And there was a time I came to a point where there was too much information to hold, even with the help of ginkgo biloba, which really does help memory. So then I let the information flow into three different videos. And so it would kind of settle there, the information, and I'll call out to a client. So when I give you this word, write it down, and it will remind me of the cluster of information that flowed into each of these three videos. Then I go back and I download the information, and then we go back and work with interpretation. People are really starting to trust their intuitive sensing, so more and more people are leapfrogging over self-doubt and able to circumvent the left-brain censoring mind that's going to say, you just made this up, this is crazy. But the next stage is interpretation, and that's crucial. And if one doesn't have a positive filter, that's going to taint and influence how they interpret the information. Naturally and unavoidably, we all have a filter, a certain filter, that's influenced by our repertoire of experiences, how we view the world, all those subtle things that we take with us. Anyway, so with the download of information, we go back, and typically in consultations, I will go every which way to interpret metaphorically, symbolically, literally. Number one, to take people behind the scenes to show them that this isn't concrete, it's subjective, it's like dream interpretation. And number two, so they can't obsess about the information. The ego self likes to really nail it down. I call my ego Edith Ego, which lets me differentiate which of my thoughts are coming from Edith. And I love how Eckhart Tolle teaches us that just that we've observed that the ego self has grabbed the wheel means that we're back to our authentic self. We're back in the flow. We're back in alignment. Anyway, so we work with interpretation. So it's a wonderful way to receive the information and sort it and then be able to work, talk about it, interpret it, and so on. So one apprentice who's I've had three recently who are wonderfully grounded. One's an engineering consultant, another was a biophysicist or biochemist, and another is retiring from being a civil engineer. So very much in the world, very grounded, and highly intuitive. Two of them are extreme empaths. So we've worked with ways to help them separate their feelings from others instead of inhaling everyone's maladies and thoughts and feelings. And the other is exclusively clairaudient, which has been fascinating, to find ways to let her imagine things rather than try to see things. So they all have their templates, and the engineer pretends he's doing a PowerPoint demonstration. So the information flows in, and he imagines that the information relative to the past is in the left-hand side of his slide presentation. The present is right in front of him, and the future is off to the right. The biophysicist, she's also a painter. So she envisions that she's holding a painter's palette, and each well represents, one is the past, one's a future, one's the present, and one is souls in the non-physical. So the information flows into each of those wells. The other gal, who's clairaudient, is able to visualize when it's something she can relate to, something she has seen before, or something she can imagine. So she pretends she's going to her favorite place on the river where she fishes with her husband, and waits for a raft to come down the river, and if the raft is going right to left, it's going to the past. If it's going left to right, it's going to the future. And so when I had them practice with each other over Skype, she hadn't met the engineer, but she sees his raft coming down the river and describes the machinery that's on the raft that he deals with in his engineering consulting job, and she knew nothing about his work. So it's really fun to open up the portal to this fourth-dimensional, multi-dimensional information and then create ways for it to flow in and then work with interpreting it, making it linear. It's fascinating. You can tell I'm pretty excited about it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, this is exciting. That I had not heard anything quite like this before. This is wonderful, Louise. Tell us a little bit about the higher self communication that streams with this.
Well, again, telepathy is part of that flow, this continuum of consciousness. It's seamless between the physical and non-physical dimension. When I'm doing readings and souls in the non-physical, which I prefer to refer to as opposed to the other side, the other side was a concept that did move people through the illusion of death to that it is an illusion. But because we're so physicality, locality oriented, they tend to think it's a place. And so they'll say, is my mother there? Can she come here? So the next stage is trying to move people to and open up to the perception that we're pure consciousness, in or out of the body. So I purposefully, irreverently refer to death as simply dropping the body. So loved ones who drop the body, they're doing pantomimes and getting me to say certain words, sometimes buzzwords, and I'll think they mean one thing relative to my repertoire of experience when it means something entirely different. The loved one, the grandfather who's showing me images that make me think of Briar Rabbit, Briar Patch, the children's book I grew up with, Joel Chandler Harris. So I'm saying these words, and my client says, "Oh, my grandfather lived on Briar Road." So it's a dance we do. It's very much like charades, and so it's telepathy in or out of the body. It's just the way that communication works, and it's like 100 words in a dot, which is just so delightful. That's what I love about telepathy, and everything is energy. So animals, trees, they have messages. On the website, if you do a search for Tina the Tree Lady, there's a wonderful story about a gal who has a very special relationship to trees and how a tree, like a tree person from the movie Lord of the Rings, a tree person was coming towards us in a consultation and had a message for her, and it related to a picture of a tree that was handed to her on the way out of her consultation. I mean, what can I say? It's just so multidimensional. So telepathy is part of this, and higher self communication. One's higher self looks the same to me as one who's passed over, who's in the non-physical. So when I said to a woman in an audience, "Well, your husband's right here beside you," she freaked out and said, "But he hasn't died." And I said, "No, he's home on the couch tonight wondering what you're doing here." And so one's higher self can come in with a message, and it's on a higher level. And so one of the things I offer in the new book is three different geometrical shapes that you can imagine to affect change. And the circle is a circle of light that we've gotten some amazing results. But first, the client and I have to move ourselves to the level of our higher selves so that before we invite another into the circle, so that we're above the fray and above the ego self's agenda. I got the idea of this higher self to higher self communication years ago when I was living in New York. And I was waiting for a friend for dinner in a restaurant, and the hostess invited me to wait at the bar. So I'm sitting at this horseshoe-shaped bar. I'm thinking, I'm kind of bored. Maybe I'll hook up with the higher self of everyone around the bar. So I pictured this golden ball of light above my head up to my higher self, raising my vibration. And then I pictured the same above the heads of everyone around the bar and hooked us all up like a daisy chain, chicking, chicking all the way around the bar. And then I telepathized to everyone collectively, "Well, here we are. What an adventure. And may we all accomplish what we're here to do and raising the vibration and in the highest way," and all those wonderful, lofty, positive affirmations. Four of them looked right at me, and three of them nodded and smiled and then went back to their conversations. So wow. Usually they won't consciously know what has transpired. I'll get a client to that level as well as myself, and then we'll invite loved ones in or out of the body to join us. One client was having a hard time. Her son was home from college and didn't have the nerve to tell his dad that he was on academic suspension. He was afraid his dad was going to be pretty angry. And so she mentioned this, and so we invited them in, and the cat jumped in. I said, "There's a cat that wants to jump in here," and he's showing me that he typically is scratching at a door. She said, "That's my son's cat, and he's always scratching to be let into his bedroom." And so we had this conversation, higher self to higher selves, that to the father, that here's your son who loves you so much, and here's the circle of light that is on a higher level, and we invite you to entrain onto this higher frequency and be receptive to what's coming through when he has this conversation, and may this increase the understanding between you and help the relationship and so on. Well, she later emailed me and said, my husband's never acted so lovingly when my son had this kind of news. And so there's another fun story in the book. I don't want to spoil it, but instant results. So it really is demonstrating the different levels of consciousness we operate on, even in this third dimensional time-space reality. It's just really in training onto a higher frequency of goodwill and resolution. And I think everything in life is seeking resolution, and everything communicates, but we just get in the way. So that's what we do with higher self communication.
Oh, that's great. By the way, today when I was driving, I was we had a breeze, a wind, and I was looking at the trees, and there was a lot of weeping willows, and they were really swaying. And I thought to myself, I wonder if trees have a lymphatic system and the wind, it's necessary for the wind to blow so that the trees can, it's good for them. It's good for the trees to sway in the wind. You know, like it moves their energy somehow. Have you ever thought about that?
No, not that specifically, but boy, it's sure obvious that you were getting at one with the trees. I think that's a very sensitive message that you got from them. I think you became one with them. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I thought, well, what if the wind doesn't blow? And then I thought, oh, that'd be tragic if the wind didn't blow and the trees could feel them. It's like there's got to be a dance going on between the trees and the wind.
Absolutely. Oh, golly. It's so exciting when you realize that everything communicates. And one of the more advanced things that's been happening in my experiments with apprentices is it's a phenomenon where I'll receive this multidimensional information, but it's sent to me relative or almost like an attachment, attached to something that's going on in my client's psyche. For example, I began by saying to one client, it's as if you're trying to decide between, oh, I don't know, three flavors of popsicles. Well, it was three job opportunities she was trying to decide between, and the night before, she'd flown out of an airport and had a craving for popsicles and couldn't decide which flavor. So it kind of came in through her filter to me to sort out and define and download and interpret.
Wow.
A client, I said, you know, it's like I'm looking down at all these scrubbing bubbles or little things moving around on the ground. No, wait a sec, it's ants. And it's like one of the ants is raising its hand and it has a message for you. And I proceeded to give him information relative to a business he wanted to start. He said, you know, it's really funny. Last weekend I was out in my backyard meditating and I looked at a colony of ants and thought maybe the ants have something to teach me. And so then in his reading, the ant is raising its hand and has the information for him. So it's, as I say, it's almost like it came through an element hanging out in his psyche or relative to his psyche and then to me to sort out, define, and interpret. So it's fascinating discoveries that we're making in a very multidimensional way.
I love it. I love it. You know, one of my most favorite subjects is time travel. I think that time travel is probably one of the most interesting things that I can think of to venture into. And I noticed that on the list of questions that you sent me that you had mentioned how this new concept relates to time travel. Give us a little download about time travel.
Well, you know, once I desensitized people to that all of time is existing simultaneously out of this third dimensional reality, it's really no big deal. It's how you use it. And as I mentioned, the one apprentice sees the raft flowing left to right, and she just as easily goes to the past or the future. One of the exercises that I do is called Future Fridays. And I took an apprentice to the following Friday, and this is so that she could verify, you know, get some confirmation when Friday came around. And so we landed I prepped her and I got her in the right mindset and all. And so we land in her office. I saw that it was she worked at home. I'd never been there, and I saw three stacks of paper where she was, I guess, working on a book. And I said, so here we are on Friday about 4 p.m., and you're needing to remember to put something outside. I don't know if it's for the trash or recycling. She said, it's my recycling day. And then I described a picture on her desk and that had special meaning and so on. So afterwards, she said, well, that was really cool. We went to the future. Then I could feel her shift back into her logical left brain censoring mind. And she said, how do we know we really did that? And I said, how did I know that Friday's your recycling day? Same thing with the past. Now, it's tricky, though. People are very curious about the future, and when I present future information, it's with a couple of caveats. the best possible, probable, positive future comes through the present, by being fully in the present moment. When people are worrying and obsessing about the future, you're not present, the universe can't find you to deliver the goods, and it slows down these potential future possibilities coming in. That said, I find that future information can point people in the direction of a probable positive future where some people don't know that they deserve joy, they don't know that a happier life is possible. So it's a little bit like a carrot on the stick, and I go there and I hang out, and there's fun, quirky things. I can hear their left brain, logical, ego self wanting to nail it down. Well, that must be such and such, and I say, just let it, you know, forget I said anything, just release it and see how it unfolds over time, and it will always be different than you can imagine. My best example, a client in New York was going through a wretched divorce, and her husband had turned her kids against her, and there was a lot of emotion that she and anger she needed to process, but she preferred to bite the bullet and said, no, I just have to move on. I said, well, you need to let this emotion move. You need to process it, or you know, it can create illness. So I said, if you can work with this and grow from this challenge that you're going through, if you can expand from it, here's a potential future moment. Oops, sorry, I have your show on. And I said, in this future moment, you're in a reflective mood. You're in a room. There's something about a wooden beam across the ceiling, something about butterflies. You're feeling so grateful looking back at all the challenges you've been through and how it's expanded you, the things that have enlightened you. And she said, well, that must be my parents' house. They have a beam across their living room. And I said, just let it unfold. It will always unfold differently. The universe is so creative, so infinite. I heard from her about 3-4 years later, and she said that she had developed breast cancer, which put her into group therapy, dealing with the emotion. And she became a Buddhist and would go to the meditation center in Manhattan. And she had recently found herself in the meditation room reflecting back on her life and her challenges and the gifts that she'd received and her spiritual awakening as a result of her health challenge. And she looked up and there was a wooden beam across the ceiling with butterflies stamped on it.
Wow.
So who could have ever imagined that's how that would unfold? I just get giddy when I see how infinite the universe is and how it loves to dance with us and send cosmic winks. That's something else that I will telepathize to loved ones in the non-physical or to the higher selves of friends and family of my clients. I will telepathize, okay, so we've had this conversation on a higher level. Now give me a sneak preview of a cosmic wink you'll be sending this person to confirm that we did have this conversation on a higher level. And the way these things unfold, it's just so much fun. They'll show me a coin, like a coin will be showing up or a sound. And then sure enough, it's a cosmic wink from the higher self. And then to address the physical third dimensional self, they might say, huh?
Right.
So I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. I'm curious what you think of this. Sometimes I'll be watching television, and I'll be really into the actor or actress, and all of a sudden I know what they smell like. It's really strange to me when that happens.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that comes from. Have you ever heard of that, watching TV and knowing what they smell like?
No, and I'm trying to think what the multisensory, like clear old, your clair olfactorious, clear smelling. I'll get other sensings, but you seem to get very tactile sensings on things, and what you picked up on from the tree and.
They're quirky things, just really quirky things.
Well, I would, in the book I talk about when we're in the stream and in the flow and merging with others, and you seem to have a very easy time of merging with others and other things in nature, other things, energy. Something else I mentioned in the book is in the title, The Current of Unity. And when we're all merged, there's that wonderful feeling that comes over us that of all being one. And the best example that I can offer is the feeling of when we watch a flash mob scene on YouTube, a flash mob performance. You know what those are?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
It makes me just say, oh, my gosh, I love humanity. We're all one. And so there are ways that we can almost create a current of unity and bring people into it. I've done it on airplanes, on the subway. And it's kind of like hooking up the higher self of everyone and sending a positive message. So we can create those moments, the current of unity. But there's nothing like it, is there?
Oh, and, you know, when I was in Dallas, I saw a flash mob start singing when the army recruits were coming back from Afghanistan, and there was like hundreds of them getting off the airplane, and when they came into the Dallas airport, all of that they were all ready and set to do this big flash dance song for me, and I'll tell you what, the goose pimples raised up on my arm, and it was one of the most extreme, ultimate experiences that I've ever witnessed. It was really something.
I would have been so verklempt, I would have been an absolute mess. Oh, I bet that was thrilling. Gosh.
I was kind of a mess. And at the same time, on the television screens, was showing the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, in El Reno, the one that, you know, really killed and hurt a lot of people. Simultaneously, I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, it was just over the top, over the top.
Isn't the universe an amazing choreographer?
Yeah, really.
Oh,
really.
It's just amazing. It's pretty thrilling to be able to see things the way we view things, and would that others could. It helps make sense of a crazy world, doesn't it?
Right. I know that you mentioned that you dealt with people that had dementia or Alzheimer's. Can you give us a couple of stories of something that could relate to that?
Well, way back, I think in my very first book, I used the example of I was consulting for a client, and I kept getting interrupted with the higher self. It kind of seemed like someone a soul in the non-physical, but I got something about Victoria Street and dripping water, and it was actually the higher self of her mother who was in a coma on Victoria Street in a home. And they had just that weekend had to drain the air conditioner in her room because it had been dripping. So her higher self was acknowledging, yeah, I'm there. I know everything that's going on. Yeah. there's a story I just posted on the news on the website that happened just a few days ago when I was on one of my flights on this tour. And I was sitting across the aisle from a young mother with her daughter, maybe 7, 8 years old, with cerebral palsy. And I had such admiration. The mother was so loving and so attentive to her daughter's needs. And I thought, well, let's see. I do this with people with Alzheimer's, coma, stroke. And I bet I could do this with the daughter. And so I telepathized, asked permission. And I got the image of a flight of stairs. And I thought, now what do I do with this? And so I kind of leaned across the aisle and started to chat with the mother. And she said, what do you do? And I gave the most generic version of my work. And I said, you know, telepathy is so common with animals. And we do it with each other all the time, but we don't realize it. She said, oh, I know. She said, our dog can tell when my daughter's about to have a seizure a good half hour before. And I said, well, I'm able to interpret for others and animals and people and all. And I just felt so much love for your daughter. And I just opened, and for both of you, I just opened my heart. And what came to me was, which is the conduit, the heart connection. And I got this scene of a flight of stairs. And she laughed and she said, I was just at relatives. And, of course, I have to carry my daughter around everywhere. And I resolved that the plans for my family's next house is we're going to X out the stairs. And I said, well, you might think I got this pull this out of your consciousness, but I prefer to think that your daughter was showing me that she knows everything going on with you and she's doing a thumbs up. Yeah, no stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, so, you know, there's new kids on the planet that are coming in, and they're just so advanced and they have so much knowledge. And then they're diagnosed with autism or ADD. And have you worked with any of these younger kids that we call, you know, indigos or crystal children?
Yes, and you know, sometimes when I zoom out or pull the camera back, I can see this continuum of one soul's journey, and I'm just amazed at what a metaphor life can be. And I remember at the end of a consultation, a woman said, you haven't mentioned my son. And when she mentioned him, I kind of scrunched down and I said, it feels like he's in a box, like he's contracted and he's here to rise up and get out of the box. And she said, he's autistic. And then I saw an overlay. Now, I don't call it past lives because it is all occurring simultaneously out there, but we have to perceive things as chronological. And people tend to want to hear past lives to fluff their ego feathers, to hear they were someone exciting or famous because their present life's so boring. But it's useful when I see a concurrent life space sort of hydroplane in and hover over the present. And it's often so poetic how an aspect of this other life space relates to something going on in the present. So this happened when she mentioned her son. And I saw him coexisting in a, quote, past life, another life space. I said, I feel that he ended a lifetime being imprisoned in a bamboo cage and being treated like an animal. And he died with that untruth that he was an animal. And we'll often recreate a semblance of where we've left off with an untruth to come to a certain configuration that will mimic that if we died being abused and believing we're unworthy, unloved, abandoned by a higher power, we might come to an abusive family to then rise up, the soul saying, been there, done that, we'll see about that, to expand with a new truth. So I saw her son having passed over, treated like an animal, believing he was an animal, having been imprisoned in a bamboo cage. And I said, and I think he knew his father there. And she said, well, my husband was in Vietnam. I said, well, ask him if he lost a friend who was imprisoned in the war, you know, a POW who was killed. But what a metaphor to die in a bamboo cage and then come in autistic to rise up and expand in whatever new innovation, a new awareness, new wisdom we have about such an anomaly. And this new wave of children coming in. I may have mentioned the last time we chatted that when I'm reading someone, often there'll be a loved one who is planning to return, and it's more accurate to say that an aspect of that soul's energy will be kind of pulled back in, as opposed to your grandmother is going to return as your daughter. It's an aspect of a greater or lesser concentration of that soul's particles. And so when I see that an aspect of someone known to my client is likely to return, I telepathize to that energy. And when that energy points to its etheric head, showing me the sex that they're likely to enter into, when they point to their head, that's code for, and I'll be a soul returning, remembering. And that's this amazing wave of children coming in who will say at 3-4 years old, when I was your mommy, I used to drive you down this street. So when they show me that they are likely to return as a soul remembering, my knee-jerk response is prove it, and then they give me a list of things that will be occurring after their birth. On my website, on the photo gallery, media photo gallery, the first row of pictures, there's a picture of Tinkerbell, and that's a great story, and then there's three pictures of me holding up children. And these are children I introduced to their mothers before they were born. And the most remarkable one was Connor, who projected a whole list of things that I'd forgotten about. And when he was 2 months old in the crib, his mother emailed me and said, 3 of those things on that list happened in the same day. Well, he had shown us before birth or shown me a scene of a crib mobile being off balance, something about an ice cream truck, and a dog hitting its head. And the dog had sneezed so hard that morning that he hit his head on the floor. And Connor, at 2 months old in the crib, is just laughing. And so they'll say, so after I'm born, when you see me laugh, know that it's not gas. But the picture of Tinkerbell was taken by a gal who has eyes to see. She has a wonderful sense of wonder about life, reminds me a lot of you. And she saw this elemental on a poppy across her living room. And it's true that you'll see it when you believe it, as opposed to believe it when you see it. And she saw it, and she said, you're so beautiful. Will you stay there a minute while I take your picture? And she reached for the point and shoot in the cabinet down below and took a picture. And it came out on film. And there's, you can see the rainbow reflection of its wings and kind of a vapor trail where it's been. Well, many times in consultations, elementals, when I see angels or fairies, it's as if someone just lit a match, and that opens up a message from an angel or elementals. But elementals often come into readings to tell me, to tell my client, to show their kids the picture of Tinkerbell, because they'll often say, they've seen us. They've seen us. Show them that picture. So it's great working with kids who just come in knowing so much, and they'll say things they couldn't have known at a young age. Then it kind of wears off, and they're here to be more the arrangement of soul particles that they're here to be this lifetime.
I noticed that one of the things that you talk about is going with the flow in these changing times. Can you comment a little bit about how people can just go with the flow?
Well, yes, it's just a matter. Well, know that you're in the stream. We're on the stream. We're on this together. And you're in the flow or in alignment when you get the phone call, the parking place. We used to think that it was because God is suddenly looking our way or we get lucky, whatever. It all has to do with what's going on in our consciousness. So once you start to experiment with that, and even when you think things are flowing against you, to try to find the synchronicities, the blessings along the way, you'll be able to maintain more and more days, more moments in the flow, and it'll shift your reality. When I was embarking on this 2 month tour, a few days before, a frozen turkey roast fell out of my freezer onto the top of my foot, and it was so problematic, I was almost going to have to cancel this whole tour. So I'm waiting for the cab to come pick me up at 4:45 from my 6 a.m. flight, and the cab doesn't show up. So I was continually trying to reframe it, deal with it, be in the here and now, but also finding the little miracles along the way. And it's gotten me this far. So to be able to turn on a dime and shift your reality, I mean, you want to be real, not a Pollyanna, like, oh, no, everything's fine. You want to be real and process the emotions so they can move and air and transform. But at the same time, to not shift your, make it global, not globalize. Okay, what's next? You know, every time I hear someone say, what's next? They say, no. The universe will give you next. Watch what you're saying. There's a group, I have a few clients who are part of a group called Access Consciousness, and they've told me how they learn to say, how could it get better than this, no matter what's going on? So even if it's something that's not preferable that's going on, when you call out, how could it get better than this, the universe is going to show you how it could get better than this, right?
Sure.
I love that. Yeah.
That's one way to get it.
The universe on notice to perform.
Exactly, as opposed to what next. Well, then it'll...
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you, Arielle, because you have the switchboard, and maybe we have a few callers that will call in, or maybe you have some questions that you would like to ask Louise. Thank you so much, Louise, for being our guest tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Arielle and hope that you come back and visit us soon.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
And we will invite anyone with a comment or question for Louise to press 1 on your keypad so we know that you would like to make a comment or question. But it, as I'm listening to you describe so many wonderful concepts, it really struck me that each individual person, you can design your own framework, your own language, if you will, for receiving the information that you're seeking or the connection that you're seeking. And I think that's really great, because like so many people, like you said, are so left-brained. It's like, okay, there's like a certain exercise with moves, and if you do the moves just right, then this is the result. But it's totally subjective, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I must say, it does help to get confirmation. When I'm able to see what my apprentices see, and then they're saying, yes, I really did see that. It really does help to get confirmation outside yourself. But when you are used to receiving a flow of information, it's one way to, I just call it customizing your template or creating a customized template. I just started with a new apprentice who, the most intuitive moments he can relate to are when he's identifying synchronicities. Like someone had suggested a certain life coach to him, and then he saw it in a magazine, and then I mentioned it. Three sequences right in a row, or a sequence of three events in a row. And so he finds it a lot in books. He read the book, he thought of it, I mentioned it, and so on. So I said, so let's pretend that your template is a book. So look into the first chapter, and then let's call that Louise's past, and then the middle section is Louise's present, and the last section, you can pretend there's dividers or tabs, the last section is the future. And he turned to the first chapter, the past, and he picked up on a scene that occurred one Christmas years ago with my two kids when my son was getting a Mario video game. That's how easily he just dipped into the past once he had a familiar template, one that he could relate to. So it's really kind of going to where it's already existing or where it's already working for you, as opposed to thinking you have to reach out there for some modality or some way to be highly psychic like you see on TV. You have to go to where it's already existing right within you. Any perception of separation separates you. So it's always important to notice where and identify where it's already existing right there, whether it's your connection to a higher power, where things are manifesting, that feeling, where you are already intuitive, and then it can just grow.
Well, when you were talking about synchronicities, my brother has the most synchronous life. I mean, confirmations just left and right. I mean, the list is so lengthy that I wouldn't even know examples to tell you, except he was facing a double lung transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was some trepidation because you're either going to do this or you're probably not going to live. And he was looking for confirmation that he was making the right decision to go ahead with it. And the doctor's office he went to, the lady who did his initial, you know, filling out the papers and all that, she's from our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
With the name that was the same as his wife.
Wow.
And it turns out that the donor's mother's name was the same as mine.
His
life is just one long string, even to the point where his friends don't even want to hear it anymore because it's just completely over the top. But the bottom line is that he's the most optimistic, positive attitude person. He's really a great inspiration for not only me and my family, but really anybody. And so, I mean, having that always looking on, you know, looking for the silver lining and you know, refusing to go into the, you know, focusing on, oh, look at all the things that are going wrong. Doesn't that have something like a key component to
I think
being
your brother's attitude, that seems to be quite intrinsic, quite innate part of him. is what keeps the synchronicities going. He's operating on a higher frequency, a very positive, lighter frequency, and it just keeps lining up. And that's the feeling we get with the current of unity, or when we're in alignment, when we're in the flow, and the information's coming, the phone bell, the phone's ringing, the parking place. So I think most of us come in and out of it. Some don't even know that that's how it works. It's what's going on in our consciousness. And some people, the lucky ones like your brother, just hang out there. How wonderful. What a great example.
Well, he is an inspiration. And just FYI, this month, October 27th, will be the fifth year anniversary of his, he's calling it his rebirth day.
Wow, so, that's great. You know, I think that what people perceive as the end of the world, or whatever, cataclysmic or whatever, I think it's a misinterpretation of a shift in consciousness. And I think that as we are lightening our vibration, the third and fourth dimension are blending. And I know you guys go on into the fifth, and I haven't stretched that far. But I think your brother's an example that every which way we lighten our frequency is putting us more in line with fourth dimensional reality. And that I personally believe that in this lifetime we may not experience death in the same way, and that our physical experience will equate more with those in the non-physical, faster manifestation, your thoughts become your heaven. When my son went to a camp in Yosemite years ago, it was a Christian camp, and they were talking about heaven and hell, and he stood up and he said, you know, there's no heaven or hell. When you go to heaven, or when you pass over, your heaven is what you think. You think it and you're there. And so if you think it's a yellow brick road leading up to a castle, that'll be your heaven. Well, he was asked to sit down. And my sister-in-law said, well, if we create our heaven with our consciousness, then my heaven's going to be a See's candy store. But I do think
it's... Oh, gosh. Their peanut brittle is just heavenly.
Exactly. You got it. You got it. So I do think as we're raising our frequency through and lightening it and bringing in light, and your brother's such a great example, I think our experience as physical beings is going to equate more with the non-physical. And I guess you could call that third and fourth dimension blending.
Really? Well, the density and the challenge of the third dimension is only if you are not using all of your gifts, talents, and inherent power that we all have for telepathy, for manifestation, for, you know, attracting what we want into our life. And people just, not so much our listeners, because I think they're much on a higher beam, but just realizing that you have the power right there in your hands, but we've been trained to not trust it. So
absolutely.
With confirmations is great, and the manifestation practices that I started learning years and years and years ago, that was the first thing. You just kind of start with something simple, and you imagine with gratitude that you already have it. And then before you know it, all this stuff is showing up in your life, and that is, it's like, oh, okay, all right, so if it worked with that little thing, then let's try a little bit bigger thing, and then you kind of, you know, graduate your way up to really being able to summon anything you want from the universe.
I think, absolutely, and I think that's so contrary to the consciousness people are in when they go to buy a lotto ticket or when they watch a romantic movie where... it creates a yearning, and the lotto ticket. This will bring me something I don't have that will then make me happy. It's something outside of me. It's something out there. Again, that's perception of separation, and it separates you from it. As opposed to saying, oh, my gosh, here I needed a new tube of toothpaste, and a sample came in the mail. Aren't I rich? And then you just get more. The yearning, like, when am I going to meet my soulmate, and then I will be happy, and putting everything on hold. And I encourage people to see where there's love already in their life, that's the use of the square in the book that I offer with these geometrical shapes to insert the you think of three yummy things that you want existing in your future and give them a color and imagine they're bouncing balls like pink, green. Pink could be love, it could be a relationship, and green could be abundance, and purple could be greater wisdom, whatever. And insert, or if it's an ideal job, if you're at a mediocre job and you can't wait to quit, well, stay there until the door opens so that you're not taking baggage with you that you'll just create at the next job and have to deal with. So while you're there, whatever circumstances keep you there, imagine that you're inserting this square into the facility where you're working with those bouncing balls, with those qualities that you're wanting in the future, and you'll start to get a bleed through. You'll start to see your present reality shift and equate more with the one you're desiring in the future. So you're sort of bringing the future into the present. But it just like you were saying, you started with little things. And you had identified, oh, my goodness, look at how this appeared. I'm so grateful. Isn't this wonderful? And then it just increases. Then it just gets more. But this idea that everything we need is outside of ourselves really gets us off track. And, of course, we've been taught for centuries that even a higher power is outside of ourselves. So
right.
It separates.
Right. And those are just concepts designed to disempower and, mm-hmm. you know, enslave people in a certain perception, and it really does come down to your perception. And you
yeah.
know, again, back to my brother, he looks at his whole experience as a wonderful opportunity because of all the things that have transpired since then. And it's just really a matter of perception. You could just as easily feel sorry for yourself, and all that's going to do is attract more reasons to feel sorry for yourself.
Yes.
But, you know, you really
yeah,
are
the language,
what you
yeah.
perceive.
Exactly. Our perception, and it's funny how our history, our past exists only in the way we perceive it. And I love to put it this way, that to show how different perceptions create different realities, put any number of siblings in a room and lock the door. And everyone saw it differently. Everyone saw your childhood differently. No, mom loved you best. No, different perceptions create different pasts, different realities. So when I go to the past, when I merge with a client's consciousness and go to the past, we can reposition that the child self. And then I pull a thread to the future to see what's new and different as a result. So it's really playing with our more multidimensional etheric selves that happen to be tooling around in what I call these golf carts, these bodies.
Mm. Yeah, I just had the concept, another scene from Star Trek, which I quote quite a bit on this show, but it's a three-dimensional chessboard with three different levels, you know, and you can perceive them all at the same time and,
yes.
and move things around. Like you said, you move something in the past, and then you go and you see how it affects the future because there isn't that linear time concept isn't real.
Yes, 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 and time travel, it is really fun, and I was referring to being a time-traveling clairvoyant on my website, and my son, my webmaster, said, Mom, when you say time travel, people are going to think you've got a machine, and sure enough, for a while, there was a lively blog discussion going on about going to the past, and finally I said, well, it's all in perception and going beyond time, and they really wanted a machine. And so eventually this discussion group said, hey, guys, let's go over to this website. And it was a lot more sci-fi. I think my son was right. But you really can play with time. Pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, your brain is like a computer, and that's a
yeah.
machine.
That's, right.
You know, so you do have a machine. It's just a biological machine.
Yes, absolutely. And consciousness, gosh, all that's happening with consciousness, and all the even science, physics and metaphysics starting to dance together, and the studies they're doing about consciousness existing outside the body. I think it was on through the wormhole that they showed that the right and left brain communicate with each other, but there aren't neurons that connect them. And non-local consciousness, as my friend and colleague Larry Dossey refers to, non-local consciousness. So it's so expansive. It's so infinite. It's everything, and it's life eternal, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And certainly the higher self is the repository of all that you have experienced, and we're connected to that as you know, individuals with a portion of that higher consciousness expressing itself in a current physical vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But getting access to that seems to be like a really important factor.
Yes, yes. It's just, and it's trying to find a bridge from people's very linear thinking. I can tell the minute they glaze over. Some people glaze over just looking at the picture of Tinkerbell. I use it as kind of a Rorschach test, and in a workshop in London, a fellow's looking at it, he's very left brain, and he says, "Oh yes, that's a lot refracting," and ruff, 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 ruff. And I said, "Now look at it through your little boy self's eyes," and I can almost hear a click when people shift from left brain to right brain, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh." He shifted perception. He saw it through different eyes. And people who can't pretend, sometimes abusive childhood where it was too painful to feel, and or the child had to grow up too fast, the child went underground, so did the imagination. And I'm finding that the imagination is quite a pathway to intuition. And so when people can't pretend or imagine, it's very hard for them to get into intuiting. Intuitive people tend to be those who see things within things, things in clouds. I have a hard time sleeping under a ceiling that has a bumpy texture. I can't not see the deer, the old lady, the bird. It drives me crazy. But a very linear left brain person will say, well, it's a ceiling. I think that's a pathway also into multidimensionality, playing games in that childlike playfulness to pretend and to see things within things. And I think that's what some people are missing because of their past sometimes for different reasons. But the child can be awakened, and that lighter energy can be reignited. That spark can be retrieved.
I read an article or heard about something, I can't remember where it came into my understanding, but that watching television, it takes about 10 to 15 seconds to shut down your creative, you're watching things in two dimension, and it's disabling. I mean, sometimes that's exactly what you want to go for, is when you just need to just, you know, shut down and zone out in front of the television. But doing it, I see it, you know, in public places.
Yeah.
You know, people they'll just, the minute they look at the television, they shut down like everything else.
Yeah, very trance-like, yeah, very numbing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a balance in all things. I like the contrast to working all day to kind of go watch my favorite program.
I mean, one is a conscious choice, and the other
yes.
one is almost I hear and obey, you know, like a robot. So,
very true.
I mean, it's a definite difference, and it serves it has a useful service if you do it, you know, deliberately, and certainly. I have certain TV shows that just take me someplace else, like Star Trek, and that's an important part of my day. However, you can't live in front of the TV set.
No. I think it's a distraction from reality, and that's why some people, I think, are glued to it all day and night. And you know, with New Age accoutrements and accessories, it's I have clients who are self-proclaimed workshopaholics, and they have all these modalities that they've kind of put on a list, but I don't know that they've integrated the information. I guess Dr. Phil would say, and how's that working for you? How's it helping your life? Is it helping you operate better, take responsibility, you know, deal with your finances, deal with the emotions that come up here and there? If it doesn't improve our life here in the physical, what's the value? I mean, it's hard to believe that there are souls lined up just itching to come into this dimension. You want to say to this, excuse me, but never can the soul evolve but in this dimension and with the kinds of challenges that we encounter. Excuse me.
Well, I think the children that, I mean, I don't have any children in my immediate, you know, day-to-day life, but I hear stories from other people and certainly my clients, and there's just some children that are so far beyond what we ever dreamed of being, you know, when we were kids, because the dimension of the planet is changing, the frequency of the planet is changing, time is accelerating, all of these things, is so that the childhood that a lot of us knew, it doesn't exist like that anymore. And these kids come in, they're just fully, they're turned on. And
yeah.
And it's really, I think, very important for parents to allow them to bloom, which a lot of our starseed parents raising starseed children are really doing a great job with that. But I'm leading up to, I had a client just recently who has an autistic son, and she's opened up a center to help other you know, parents with autistic children. But she was telling me some of the things that this child can do was just off the charts with intelligence, and his telepathy is very, very strong. She does hardly even has to, you know, she can ask him from a room away if he's ready to eat or something, you know. So I really would like to see more people taking advantage of what you're teaching to to help with the children that you can't put them into the same childhood, and you know, like you had or like I had.
Yes. I have an apprentice whose daughter can see her mother's, when they're walking down the street together, she can see her mother's energy changing the energy of people she passes by.
Wow.
And you mentioned autism on, excuse me, if you go to 60minutes.com and do a search for autistic boy, sometime last year they had on this boy, I think he's more Asperger's, quasi-autistic, and as soon as he could learn to write, he was writing formulas on the wall, and then when he ran out of space in his bedroom, he was writing them on the windows. I think he's 10 or 12 and at Yale now, and they think, Yale or Harvard, and they think that he's going to surpass Einstein with his formulas. And in the after hours segment, Maury Safer is saying to him, "Where do you get these formulas?" And he just sort of laughs and says, "In the fourth dimension." And then he hands him, he has different cutouts of geometrical shapes, and he hands him a plastic yellow triangle. And the boy says, "Oh, that's vada vada vada." And that's the name of the formula that this represents in the fourth dimension.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, seeing these children as gifted rather than handicapped is really important for society to do. And then what would you tell parents to help let these children grow in the best possible way?
I think to trust these gifts and to open up to consciousness and the different facets of consciousness, and also I think for everyone to see the wholeness of another, whether it's a family member with Alzheimer's or a child with some anomaly or handicap, to see that wholeness. I felt that child with cerebral palsy, I felt her wholeness in there, hanging out in this particular body was a whole soul that was quite perfect. And I think that's why I got that created the conduit between our two consciousnesses, and that's when I got the picture of the flight of stairs. I use the example of when I moved into an apartment building years ago, and the super or the maintenance guy offered to put bookshelf in my Murphy bed closet to make me an office where I wrote my first book. I told a few people in the building, and they said, oh, forget it. He's a town alky. He'll never follow through. So every time I thought of Bill, I thought of Bill the Responsible. I accessed that part in him that was there somewhere, that was illuminated, that was responsible, like Richard the Lionheart, Bill the Responsible. And I kept seeing him that way, and sure enough, he shows up at the door one day with boards under his arm, looking kind of bewildered, like, I don't know why I'm here. So I would say that to parents, to continue to see their child's wholeness. And I know it's easy to say, when, like this mother, what a life, my goodness, just the physical challenge of taking care of this child. But she had such a wonderful attitude, and she was so loving and attentive to her daughter. And it can change everything. But so I would say that, and then also trust telepathy. I mentioned to that mother how she could kind of play with this with her daughter. I said, I bet you're very sensitive to subtle cues, what she's wanting to communicate to you. And she said, oh yeah. And I said, well, increase it with telepathy. And you'll get a response from her. Just know that she's getting, it's like animals see our thoughts as pictures. When they're kind of looking up above your head, they're seeing your thoughts. One of my heroes is Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, who's done wonderful research in telepathy. And on his website, sheldrake.org, there's a study he did, the Kiske experiment. A linguist in New York reached him and said that she had an African gray parrot with a vocabulary of 1,000 words, not just parroting, but cognitive. The parrot wakes her up every morning and tells her what she's been dreaming.
Oh, my gosh.
Watching her dreams. So in the study, they put the parrot up a few flights, put her down a few flights. They would show her a picture, ring a bell, and the parrot would call out what was in the picture. So they show her a picture of a couple kissing, and the parrot calls out, give me a kiss. They show her a picture of a fellow leaning out a car window. The parrot calls out the window, be careful. So that's the stream of consciousness. That's streaming consciousness. The parrot was getting it, was in the stream getting those images. So animals see our thoughts as pictures. And so you can send your pet a scene, a picture of it sleeping where you prefer it to sleep. And sometimes a pet will interrupt a phone consultation. I have a client who owns a wolf farm in Santa Barbara, and when we start the session, all the wolves come up to the door. They like that energy. And not a farm, a ranch, I guess. So the same thing with, they'll come with messages in consultations. More than one cat has come into a session telepathizing to me. Could you please tell her to stop rattling the plastic bags every time she opens a pantry? It drives me crazy. So I'm getting these multidimensional impressions, but of course I have to refine it into human vocabulary, human way, the way we communicate with words. It's very limiting, let me tell you.
Well, exactly. And as you said before, you pull on your own repertoire of of what that means to you, and it means something entirely different. So, you know, there is an interpretation art there as well. But, you know, conferring with the other person, just a few words would probably be enough for them to make the connection.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Well, let me, once again, if you're listening and you have a question or comment for Louise, press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And while we are waiting to see if anyone has a comment or question, there was something else I was going to ask you, and now I've moved past that point, and I can't remember it.
You know, sometimes when I forget, I walk backwards, and then it reminds me. And they've even proven scientifically that when you walk through a door, I think it's event shift. I forget. It's event something that they call it. When you walk through a doorway, your brain shifts, and that's one reason we can't remember what we went into a room to get. Isn't that great to hear?
Yeah, I do. If I'll go back and stand in the spot where I was standing when I've had the thought, and it comes, I mean, it's like it's still hanging there. As a matter of fact, when I am getting ready for bed, when I put my head on the pillow, I start remembering the dreams I had the night before and hadn't thought about them all day. But familiarity of the past night's dreams, it's almost like the thought forms are still there in the pillow. And then when I put my head down, it comes back.
I wonder how they might explain how Edgar Cayce could put a book under his pillow and wake up in the morning and know the contents of the book. I guess he was getting it in the fourth dimension.
Well, if the written word indeed does have power, then that is energy. And, you know, you don't have to look at the words to absorb the energy held in the book. But
I remember reading that the woman who wrote the book, Deep End of the Ocean, I think that became a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer, her husband passed with cancer, leaving her with 4 or 5 kids as a single mom. And before he passed, he looked at her and said, "You're going to," I think he may have even said, "within a year, you're going to do something great." And the year to the day of his passing, that book was published, and she would get it in her sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. I woke up and wrote an essay once that came to me in my sleep, I wouldn't mind a whole book in my sleep. My mother was a concert pianist, and she woke up once and had dreamt a whole symphony and just wished that she'd written it down. So that's definitely a multidimensional, non-physical experience, and so it's the same when we drop the body on a more permanent basis.
Right, and I just remembered what I was going to tell you. And this is a perfect example of what you were just saying earlier. I had a person who I was trying to reach by telephone that lived a few states away, and it was really important to me that I make this connection with this person. And I called and left messages and messages and messages, and I was always really upbeat about it. But 2 months of this went by, and I never got a call back. So someone had taught me that if you call the higher self of that person, sit them down in the chair, tell them what it is you need to say, and I explained, it's like, this is why I really need to speak with you. Within 10 minutes, I got a call after 2 months of silence.
Yeah, like I rest my case. Higher self to higher self. It's really cool. It really works.
It does. And you know, you can go even farther, because I have used that suggestion for people that are having a really difficult time with another person in, you know, whatever. It could be anything. But when you can't get through to the person on how this is hurting you, affecting you, harming you, just bypass the left brain physical person and go straight for the higher self. and you can speak your mind and then watch the shift when you see the person.
Exactly. So you know of what I speak. You know exactly what I was talking about.
I sure do.
Would.
And it was like the confirmation. 10 minutes.
Yes.
I had the phone call. And
yes.
And so since then, used that technique. I don't want to call it a technique, but it works. It really does work, and it helps because a lot of times you have so much energy and emotion built up between you and someone else that it seems like it's impossible to get through. You know, the wall is just too thick. It's too high. It's got too many, battle scars on it. So, you know, forget about that approach, you know, you just go to the next dimension.
It is
and
fun
there
when
you get,
excuse me.
There you can find the connection and the absence of all that resistance.
Yeah. Yes. And when you get the signal back from the higher self of the other, I think in Beyond Boundaries I mentioned how the very first time I went to England, I was watching the changing of the guard. I didn't know it would take 3 hours, and I was famished. And so I wanted to find my way to Harrods. So I walk across the street, and there's a fellow leaning on a lamppost, and he says, "Can I help you?" And I asked directions to Harrods, and he offered to accompany me and cautioned me not to walk through the park by myself and all. And then he invited me to have a brew with him, and I never mentioned what I do. We had a chat, and then we came back out on the sidewalk. And just to back up, the day before I'd been to the Tower of London, and I got what I call a double exposure, experiencing two time periods at the same time. And I could feel myself in another life space being brought in. I could hear the crunch of boots on gravel with men on either side of me taking me to be incarcerated in a place like that. And I was knowing that there was a jailer who'd been kind to me and brought me food. So the next day, fast forward, I'm meeting this fellow who was literally a light technician. The universe has such a sense of humor. And I knew he'd been my jailer. So here he buys me food again, or the beer. And then when we part, he walks to the end of the block, turns around, and says, "See you in another 200.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I bet if I
had said, "Do you know what you just said?" he wouldn't have had a clue.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah. Sometimes the higher self runs our mouth, and we don't even really know what we just said.
Yeah. Or like the nip and tuck example. She had no idea she pulled that out of my energy field. We're all so connected, aren't we?
Oh, more than we can imagine, I'm sure. And that thing you said about was it Robert the responsible?
Oh, yeah, Robert the Bill the responsible. Yeah.
Oh, Bill the responsible. That works with anything, with anyone. If we shift our perception, if we're always thinking about, this is Mary, the one who's always late. Well, she's always going to be late as long as you always think that. And there's a little bit of shared responsibility there for, people that never change. It's like, well, if you never change what you think of them, you are drawing from them exactly what you are expecting. But the reverse also works.
Yeah, and I think that's why people have a hard time with families, that families hold each other, siblings hold each other in how they remember them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, hey, look at me now, look at the changes and all of that. I think that's why it's hard for people to go to family gatherings. They're sort of held in stasis in how they've been perceived by their family.
That was the exact word I was having in my stasis. That's it. And
I probably just got out of your energy field.
That's right. You could just as easily choose, and that's the thing, is that we all have all kinds of powers, perception powers, telepathic powers, healing, you know, artistic, the list goes on. But the power, it exists in this nebulous way that is untapped, because when it comes right down to it, your power only exists in your choices.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
You know, if you had the power to heal, but you don't choose to heal, then, then what good is it? So, I mean, it really comes down to choices. And when you want something for yourself, and you can't seem to quite get it, you look at the choices, the things you choose to think about, the things you choose to say. That really is where you wield your power.
Exactly.
You choose.
And, you know, talking about telepathy and all, I almost forgot to mention that for your listeners, we're extending the telepathy contest that has been going on since the evening before I departed on this tour. We're extending it till midnight, 11:59 tonight, to go to the website and go to louisehauck.com, LOUISEHAUCK.com. /telepathy_contest, where there's, excuse me, there's the instructions, and the winner will be announced Saturday. But to put in to center yourself and just pick up on what I was focusing on that evening that's still in my consciousness, and the winner will get a free phone consultation. So it's louisehauck.com/telepathy_contest. And it was ending yesterday, and then I learned about the interview, so we have extended it to midnight tonight, actually 11:59. So go for it.
So center yourself and try to find the image that you had in your mind when you designed this.
It's an image that I focused on. It's like I do with remote viewing with my apprentices. I was focused on a particular image that I was looking at that I will show on Saturday. It'll be on the website and on Facebook. There'll be a link on the professional Facebook page, Louise Hauck Illuminations. You'll just be merging with my timeless consciousness in the stream and picking up on any elements of that photo. Color, texture, shape. Don't try to conceptualize it. Don't try to name it. Just type in your impressions in the form that you'll be taken to when you follow the link. And then I'll be showing how everybody gets something that comes through the ethers. It's all there in the stream. And the one that gets the most hits will get a free phone consultation. So I almost forgot to mention that.
Oh, well, you know, I was going to ask you about that, but I was not wanting to put you on the spot if it was already over. So thank you so much. So you have until 11:59. Is that Eastern time or
Pacific
time?
See, well, I guess we'll have to make it Eastern time because that would make it pretty late. Well, let's see. No, I think, it's Pacific time. So that gives East Coast people even later. But it's already even later, isn't it? I guess it evens out.
Are there exercises that you you know, it's like you help people construct the, like with the raft and the boxes and the guy with the book or the desk? Is there
there's a lot of information when enough people come together. I do an online intuition advancement series. We go about 10 sessions online and go into an Adobe meeting room, and I can put people in breakout rooms to practice with each other. So there's a lot of information on the website under services for the intuition advancement series and some of the exercises we do.
That's wonderful. What a great idea.
Yeah. It's so much fun, and I love to position people exercises that trick the left brain, that override the censoring mind, and when people pull through information, they sometimes freak out. Where did I get that? How did I know that? Where did that come from? And I say, from the stream. It's all in the stream.
Right. You know, so, and all you, I mean, it probably doesn't take very long before the proverbial light bulb goes off, because all you have to do is, you know, get a couple of confirmations.
Yeah.
And then you start to trust.
You know, it's so true. The more confirmation you get, the more you get. It's like when you started learning about and identifying synchronicities, and then you got more. So the more confirmation you get, the more you trust, and then the more you get. If you ever wonder why, when you decide to get a Nissan car, and then that's all you see on the highway, I think it's because you're pointing.
Oh, Louise, I just got a Nissan car, and that's all I see on the highway. I think, I didn't realize these were so popular.
You know, I do that all the time, and it drives me crazy. People will, you know, if people are standing around saying, what's the world's worst name? And I might say, how about Mervyn? Why do I say that? Because it's the woman's husband's name.
Oh, my gosh.
I pull it out all the time and don't realize it. But so isn't that funny? You just got a Nissan. How it all comes together. It's not linear. It comes in from all directions and synchronizes, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, literally, I mean, I never noticed them that much. But, and I didn't, and it wasn't like I was questing for a Nissan. It just happened to be a really good deal. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I could handle that. And now it's like, wow, they're everywhere.
Yeah, well, I
definitely
think you're
pulled that one. You just pulled that one out of my head, I'm sure.
You are? Yeah, and you never know. And you're thinking, you're facing that slice of infinity that includes Nissan cars.
Yeah, well, I was just not tuned into them before, and now I'm tuned in. And,
yeah,
but
well, again,
the
same
thing happens with other synchronicities. Once I realized that my parents who are on in the fourth dimension communicate through numbers, and as soon as I got that, it's like, oh, okay, and now, you know, it would be one number is my mother and another one's my father, and I just know, it's like, oh, hey Dad, how you doing, you know, just
that's great,
because prominence of the number 29 just keeps coming up.
Yes. On the website news, there's a story I posted a couple weeks ago that happened at a presentation at a bookstore in Seattle. And it has to do with a mother and daughter, the son/brother reaching the sister through different colored BBs that she would find in the backyard where he used to shoot his BB gun. So that's a fun story.
Wow.
It's just seamless. My best example of how seamless consciousness is in or out of the body, the client in London who was a meditator, he'd lost his wife, and I'm interpreting for his wife, and she's saying, about that conversation we were having before we were so rudely interrupted by my death. Doesn't that say it all?
It sure does.
Yeah,
it sure
it's
does.
Absolutely seamless.
Gosh, and I don't really watch the clock when I'm doing a show, but I just happened to glance up, and it was 7:29, which is my father's birthday.
Oh, it's just all synchronizing in alignment, in the flow of the
point. It gets to the point where it's just so far over the top that, like my brother says, yes, I hardly even mention it to my friends anymore because they're really tired of it. You know, how come that is always? And then it starts happening to them more and more. So it can be contagious, just opening up people's eyes. And I'm just so happy to have you on the show with us tonight. You have really done a great job talking about your subjects because we don't have anybody with a question.
Oh, well, I hope that the ideas were complete enough.
Obviously,
but
they were.
But I know you usually do have questions, but maybe they're sitting quietly and telepathizing with the higher selves of loved ones, even as we speak.
Well, that could very well be.
Yeah.
But I just want to repeat, your website is louisehauck.com. And if you go on to that website, forward slash telepathy_contest. Give it a shot. Give it a shot, everybody listening.
You never know, and you'll get some feedback.
Yeah.
Super.
That's great. And your new book, Streaming Consciousness, A Current of Unity, and that is available on your website.
It is there, and copies will be available in 2-3 weeks.
Okay, so you have the hard copies. It's not in digital form yet?
No, and that will be on Amazon, and the availability of that will be posted on the website and on Facebook.
Excellent. And your Facebook page is just Louise Hauck?
It's Louise Hauck Illuminations. That's my profession.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is great. Lavendar, we just have a few minutes left, so if you have any closing comments, now would be the time.
Well, I really enjoyed listening, especially when she was talking about what happened to her in England with that person that, you know, she had a brew with. You know, those kinds of things probably happen more often than you know from other lifetimes, but people don't really connect it or realize it. You know, how many times do you meet a stranger and you might spend an hour or two with them and never see them again, like people at the airports?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, like strangers passing in the night, and yet you needed to connect with that person momentarily for, you know, some recognition perhaps, or just, you know, some love vibration. I really love that story. That really warmed my heart when I heard it, because I knew that you were really in the zone with it.
Yes. Oh, and when you, well, like we were just saying, you start to notice synchronicities and then you get nothing but. When you start to identify this higher self communication, we're all signaling each other all the time. It's really fun. Aren't we blessed to be able to see things the way we do? I'm so grateful.
Well, if you can figure out why I smell people, I'd like to know.
That is really funny. I do get an overlay. I don't know. Have you seen an other life space where you were incarcerated?
I don't think so.
I don't know if this is an underground faction, but I'm getting you in kind of a dank, enclosed space, and you were very sensitive to smell, and you could almost smell who was coming. I think it increased your sensory abilities.
Wow.
And I think it could, you know, like French Revolution. I it seems more like a spiritual underground faction, but it felt like an enclosed space, and that kind of mildew smell. And again, because there was sensory deprivation, were very acute. Your sensing was very acute in smelling who was coming. And,
well, you know, I do have past memory of living deep down in caves away from light. Yeah, I do have that.
Interesting. So that could be what I'm interpreting as incarceration, because I'm projecting from another life space where indeed I was incarcerated.
Right.
That
oh, well.
It's that feeling of down underneath, earthy and or mildewy, damp and dank and so on. But you were okay. You were okay. but your other sensibilities got very heightened as a result of the lack of light and other sensory.
Wow.
Simulation. That just floated in and just hydroplaned and hovered over the present.
Okay. Well, nice having you tonight, Louise, and come back and see us again.
You guys are wonderful. I'm hearing your news at the beginning and all. It's just, you've upped my frequency. It's so wonderfully positive. Keep doing what you're doing. It's really, really wonderful.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back on again. And I do encourage everyone to check out your work, your books. And this is something, it's not just the gifted people. Everybody has the abilities.
Absolutely.
Develop them. And
absolutely.
You're a really good guide in that journey. So thank you so much.
We're all in this together. We're all in the stream, and all for one, one for all. Thank you again for having me.
You are so welcome, Louise.
Take care.
everybody. Thank you. We will be off the air for the next 2 weeks while we are on our crystal quest, and we'll see you next time on October 22nd. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great week, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.